Welcome back to the Daughters of the Moon podcast. We're grateful you can join us for another week.
You bet we are.
We are very lucky. We have Dr. Garrett Yount. He is a scientist at the Institute of Noetic Sciences. His primary interest is in bridging molecular neurobiology with aspects of consciousness and extended human capacities. He began his formal studies in consciousness research with a small grant from the Institute of Noetic Sciences in 1995, which allowed him to work with biofield practitioners and spiritual healers in the laboratory. He was among the first scientists to be awarded a research project grant from the National Institutes of Health to study energy healing. He has spoken nationally and co-authored peer-reviewed papers on the topic of establishing rigorous guidelines for research into biofields and micropsychokinesis. He is the author of Why Vibes Matter, Understand Your Energy and Learn How to Use It Wisely. And that's what we're going to discuss today. So welcome. We're really happy that you can join us on our podcast.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
We introduced you, but can you give a little bit of your own bio, kind of how you got started in this and how this book came to be?
Sure. Well, it all got started when I was a kid and I had some experiences that are, you know, kind of psychic experiences and got me really curious about what is the mind, what is reality, you know, and became really interested in exploring that personally. And then tried to do that through my studies, and that I found the Institute of Noetic Sciences along that path. And that's kind of what brought me to there, because it's scientists that are trying to explore consciousness within the scientific framework. So that's the place I wanted to be, and I feel really fortunate to be here.
That's amazing. And it's amazing that they have a place that's for that, because I think that's an important part of science too, right? Because often you think about it, oh, yeah, I like science.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't jive together too much.
It can be challenging.
Yeah, exactly. And then you wrote this book. And so what inspired you to write this book then?
Well, it's mainly that a lot of people have experiences of consciousness-based things or psychic things, and they're scared of it, or they get the sense that it's bad, or they're the only ones that, you know, that it's happening to, and they can't talk to anybody about it. So that's one thing that IONS kind of represents, the community. People can gain community this way. But this book is meant to be kind of for beginners. You know, it's kind of, it's too sciencey, people, it just goes right over their head. So the book, the goal was to talk about some of the, you know, some of the cool science research that has been done that supports the idea of these psychic phenomena, or actually other explanations that are more mundane, and just kind of bring it into the normal zone. And then also have little techniques for influencing your energy so that people can ultimately, which is part of the mission of IONS, is to help expand human consciousness to understand that we are all interconnected, and it's through these vibes that we're all interconnected, and that's why they matter. And then ultimately, I think that's going to lead to a more chilled out society, and we're going to be more healthy, and we're going to have peace on Earth. Just a little goal like that.
No,
that's just simple. But no, I think that's great though, because I think it's true. Like, I think people do get these vibes and they don't always know what they mean, or, you know, maybe they're imagining things. You know, I think it's become way more mainstream than it ever was in the past, which I think is great, because we're sort of awakening as a human species to this interconnectedness. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about maybe some of the ways you feel these vibes then?
Yeah, and what it's kind of important to start out acknowledging that there's so many different kinds of vibes. So, and people, like you say, it's very much in the popular culture now and the popular language. So I like to think about it in terms of breaking it into three types of vibes. And according to a very simple model of mind, the subconscious mind, so the conscious mind, subconscious mind, and then the superconscious mind. So there's vibes that go along with each of those levels of mind. And the conscious vibe are the ones that you notice with your senses, you know, so like what you're wearing. You know, today I didn't wear a t-shirt because I was going to be on camera. Give the vibe of a professional scientist, right? So someone is, and that's also like if a couple decides to have a rustic vibe for their wedding, right? They're going to put certain kinds of things around, and they're picked up with our senses, and then they're meant, and so then you're consciously thinking about them and you're consciously reacting to them. And those are, you know, really important and very useful. I don't talk much about them in the book because they are kind of obvious. The book is more about the subconscious vibes and the superconscious vibes. So subconscious, of course, is with the subconscious mind. That means that their vibes we're getting, not in reaction to something that we're actually noticing with our senses, but it's kind of bubbling up from some other way we're perceiving it in our subconscious mind. And then when it makes it through to the conscious mind, which we're aware of, it just comes through as this vibe. So these are the kinds of vibes, you know, you meet somebody and you get a vibe and you don't know exactly why, not necessarily because they're wearing a certain kind of t-shirt. And just one really fun example of that is the research with odorless chemical that comes from women's tears. So these researchers at the Weissman Institute tested whether tears, so they collected tears from women watching a sad movie. And then they had these men and they put the little swab under their nose with either tears from sad women or salt water as the control. And then they asked the men to look at pictures of random women and rate the pictures for sadness or sexual attraction, their sexual attraction to them. And they found out that this odorless chemical, so you can't smell it. So that's why it's subconscious. You can't smell it. But whenever they had this tears, they were in, you know, breathing in the chemical from the tears, it reduced their sexual attraction. Their libido went down.
Wow.
It didn't have anything to do with sadness. Like they didn't think the women were more sad than, you know, it had no effect there.
Right.
And so, you know, that's just so intriguing to me because you can kind of imagine how that works, you know, in the wild in terms of turning down that. So then just, you know, these experimenters at the Weissman Institute followed it up. They actually saw in blood levels of testosterone going down with men, if they've got this, if they're smelling, not even smelling, if they're taking in this odorless chemical. So, you know, the body's recognizing that. And then when it bubbles up into the conscious mind from the subconscious, it's this vibe of, yeah, I'm not super into this person, you know, so.
That's interesting. And I was just like kind of quick in my mind thinking about it. Like if, you know, you run into somebody and they're in an off mood, yeah, that can be very offsetting and you don't always know why. But if they've got that kind of smell or whatever about them because they've been just sad or angry or whatever, you're sensing that. So that's interesting. That's really neat.
Well, you know, what you're talking about is another example. In addition to just, you know, for example, that those odorless chemicals, there's electromagnetic frequencies that are generated from the body, primarily from the heart. And researchers at the HeartMath Institute in Boulder Creek showed that this frequency, or kind of the pattern of this EMF field, this electromagnetic field that extends out from our body, that kind of the pattern of it can change according to emotion. So like you say, if someone's feeling off, there's evidence that that could be registered in this field around their body. And then HeartMath tested this too, that if you come into the proximity of that person and your fields overlap, some of that energy pattern can be transferred. So you could literally be picking up bad vibes from somebody taking it on. So that's another one of the really fun science bits that I describe in there. So then the last category is the superconscious vibes. And the superconscious mind is the mind, the oneness mind, when this illusion of separateness fades and we appreciate our interconnected with everything. And that's, I think, where the real, like the spiritual healing occurs. This is where we're getting down to the foundation of our reality, really. And, you know, some of the techniques in the book, and maybe some of your listeners already know, you can reach that state through meditation, for example. And I think that's, again, the more that we can get into that state, eventually the healthier we are as an individual, and then the more we interact better with others, play better.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you think that in that way, then like a global meditation where people are doing a global meditation for a healing or for peace or whatever, do you think that is why it actually does resonate out to be able to do that healing and stuff, is because you're really at a super conscious level, you're putting out that energy?
I do. And there is some research to support that. Just as one example, these experiments that are done where they have generators placed in certain locations and all around the world, actually, and this is ongoing right now. And random number generators are machines that are designed to really be good at generating random numbers. They're used at like Las Vegas, you know, where you really need to have random numbers. And the hypothesis that these scientists are testing is that if there's some kind of coherence in this superconscious mind state with interconnectedness, that it's going to make coherence in the physics, and this can influence the machines and influence them in the way to become less random, which really shouldn't happen because they're built to do that. And they watch them continuously for days and days and days. And then they look when there were events, like you mentioned, about global prayer or just horrible events happening that affect the global stage, seeing if they can see perturbations in these machines. And they're finding, they have found pretty compelling evidence of correlation between these machines becoming less random at state during times and places where it's arguable that there's more coherence in this collective mind.
Yeah, I always thought that was interesting. Like, I love, you know, when you see it on social media a lot, well, things that I follow and a lot of people, can you pray for somebody? Can you help with this? No, rather it actually heals that person or just maybe eases their way. That's their soul consciousness, right? That they have to deal with. But yeah, it's interesting.
Another thing that was interesting, we just did that recently. My sister, her aunt was in the hospital and she was, we thought, at the end of life. And we put out there for a global prayer sort of thing. Yeah. And within 2 days, she's back at home. And, you know, and like that had to be the energy, that had to be the vibes that was coming off of that, because so many people come on and connect with us, right?
Yeah.
She's still out of the hospital and she's still doing okay. The vibes have stayed with her, still, I think, right?
That's amazing.
I know.
I just want to mention another project that's happening at IONS. It's called the Spontaneous Remission Bibliography Project. And so it started about 10 years ago. Well, it was a big, thick book published that had just cases after case after case of people having, who thought they were going to die. And then it turned around and they just kind of, it went away without, which just baffles the doctors, right? So, so this was a big, thick book that was just filled with all different kinds of cancers. And so actually when my father was coexisting with cancer, was struggling with cancer, he got so much inspiration and hope from this book. So he kept buying copies and leaving them in the hospital waiting room for other people to just randomly pick up. So it has a really special place in my heart, this book. So now I'm part of the project to update it and put it into an online searchable database so that it's easier for anybody, you know, doctors can go in there, patients can go in there. So we're in the process of getting ready to finish that and launch it hopefully at the end of the year. So that's exciting too. Just you reminded me of that.
That is very exciting. It kind of reminds me of, there was a time years back and it was like people were leaving notes in like the shopping centers and stuff, you know, like affirmations, you are beautiful and you are worthy, and people were finding them, and they were just, the way that it shifted their days and how they were thinking about themselves was amazing. And I think that just goes to speak about how these vibes, when you're putting them out there in a positive way, are so beneficial for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that has real, real impact.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you talk about some of the techniques in your book?
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, the example you just gave is similar to a technique in the book. And again, these are very basic techniques. So many of your listeners probably know some of them, or maybe there's different versions of it. But this, you know, finding little notes with positive, you know, intentions reminds me of the technique that's in the book that's called, well, basically gratitude, a gratitude list or gratitude ritual. And so it could be, you know, every day writing down a number of things that you're grateful for. And so this just seems so simple. And I actually do it. I just do it in my head. It's one of the, actually almost the first thing I do is just express to the, you know, all that is that I'm grateful for, and just pick things like that, right? Seems so simple. There's actually research done on that showing that it has really good effects on mental health and even immune function. So these little things, it seems like it's just not a big deal, but it actually has real impact. And that one is, you know, so that's one of the techniques that involves kind of writing and thinking. And then, you know, the other kind of end of the spectrum are techniques that are just body centered, like slow breathing. It is astounding how much of an impact you can have on your body slowing down your breath. And there are special techniques. Like I put a really simple one in the book, which is just, you just first pay attention to how you're breathing now. Just count, like, okay, I'm breathing. It's like two in, two out. And then say, okay, I'm just going to add one on both sides. Just slow down to three and slow down to three on the way out. And then if you feel good, go to four. Four is often a sweet spot for folks, but you want to go wherever you feel good. Listen to your, you know, your body. And like, for example, there's an experiment that I think just 7 minutes of doing that four in, four out breathing changed the nervous system in a way that literally chilled it out, which is very healthy for organs. So yeah, that's that's just the technique. And just again to mention that when you chill down your own vibes, then you're radiating that and it can be contagious. So that's part of the fun and importance of it.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Like I know like my one stepdaughter in particular has a lot of anxiety. And so then when I'm talking to her and she's in that agitated state, I will often say to her, just breathe, stop for a minute and just breathe, right? Because it takes that anxiety level down. And I know it's hard when you're in that moment of being agitated.
Yes.
Think that it's going to work, right? You're like, sure, yeah, I'm going to take some breaths and that's really going to work.
It's going to work for me.
But it really...
breathe, I'm going to clobber you.
But it shifts your mind, right? I think because you become more internalized where you're thinking about your breath then and everything else kind of just falls away.
I think that happens for sure. And in addition to that, it's literally a physiological condition that this rate of breath influences your autonomic nervous system. And there's this whole scientific thing about autonomic balance, but it's very real. So it's not just a psychological tool. It's also a physiological tool. And of course, those two levels interact. So, they're so intertwined that when your body calms down, your mind tends to follow. And just similarly, your mind, the opposite way around. So yeah, it's really good advice.
Yeah.
I find too, when I do Reiki, I ask the people to calm, to breathe and that type of thing. And that way they can connect into my energies because that's what I want them to do, right?
Yeah.
And calm them down enough that they can accept the healing that they're going to get. Or if I don't get them to do that beforehand, and I also smudge, but if I don't get them to do that, then they have a fidgety time on the table before I can actually relax into acceptance, right? So yeah, vibration is 100%.
Yeah, that's the super conscious vibes right there.
Right. Yes.
I love that. And I love the grateful because I journal, but I do a grateful journal every morning. I do 10 things that I'm grateful for. Although I also spend moments when I'm out and about where you're like, oh, I'm just so grateful for
so beautiful.
Whatever, right? Like, oh, I'm so grateful I got a close parking spot to the grocery store. Like, because I think in a lot of times people think that you have to be so grandiose about what you're grateful for when it's really just these really simple things.
Yes.
Absolutely. Like there's been a road that I take every day coming home from work that had so many potholes. It just, it was annoying, but over time the day that they fixed those potholes, I was so grateful. And then I keep saying that. And there's an advanced version of this gratitude ritual that you can add on once in a while is to express that gratitude to somebody else, like really give this gift of saying I'm grateful, either in writing, you could write a letter to somebody, and I'm pretty sure there was also a study on that was really helpful in addition to. So, you're literally spreading those good vibes, but the person doing it experiences more benefit as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Connect.
I would agree with that. I sometimes will go to her apartment when she's not home and then I just leave her little, inspirational sticky notes around because it brightened your day. And so she did the same for me. So when I found them, it was really neat because it was like, oh, that does feel really good when you get them back. Right.
And you really think about where else could I hide that where she hardly ever sees it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of a sudden she'll open it and go, oh, there's another one. Right.
So yeah, my mom still talks about, there was one time I left her a note like that and she says, never forget it. She just remembers that so fondly.
Yeah.
It was funny when the kids were growing up, I used to put notes around instead of giving them trouble because they're not. I would leave notes around so that to remind them, right? Nice little notes here and there and everywhere else.
Yeah.
And as they got into their teens, they were going, when I get older, I'm never going to write notes and things like that. That just bugs me so much if you do it. And now they both do it. So that vibration has run through by this time.
I like that.
Yeah. And I think these things are so important to learn too, because I think the more we create good vibes within ourselves, not only does it help us and heal us, but then it goes outwards where you're saying this brings this peace to the world.
Yeah.
I think that's a great thing. And we reflect that when we're leaving the house on how we choose to live our day and show up in the world.
That's true.
Very true. Yeah, there was a study measuring, it showed a change in a person's feeling of social isolation. So their own, you know, feelings about that, which are very correlated with mental health and even physical health. And they showed that this meditation practice that, again, it's a classic one. It's called loving kindness meditation. And Jon Kabat-Zinn has really, I learned it from him. He's got examples on YouTube. It's a beautiful meditation where you're eventually sending out love energy from your heart to others and communities, even sometimes, and it's all kinds of variations of it. But they showed that people doing that meditation, they did change their kind of these psychological parameters and social isolation, which is interesting because just imagining, even if it's just imagining sending these vibes, right? It's leaving a change in the person doing it in terms of feeling more connected. They're the ones doing the connecting, and the other person may or may not ever acknowledge it or feel it on any conscious level, but just doing it is helping the person.
That's amazing. I think it would be really interesting if we could bring this into some of the seniors' homes and homeless shelters and those kind of, you know, these abuse addiction places. I don't know, maybe there is that out there, but I feel like if we could bring some of these practices into that, how much would that help those people you know, feeling isolated or feeling like there's no hope?
Yeah,
I think that would be really helpful. I know the place I know that it is happening is in VA centers. For folks with PTSD. So that's a kind of a more difficult clinical situation. And one of the techniques that is offered at many places is, it's called emotional freedom techniques, or EFT, and it's the tapping.
Okay.
Tapping, it combines kind of the flow of chi and cognitive behavioral therapy, but really profound improvements in terms of PTSD symptoms.
Wow, that's really nice to hear, because we got so much homeless on the streets and everything else. A lot of it's to do with PTSD and other things as well. But if we could spread that around a little bit more, maybe we'd have a little less out there.
Yeah, and all these things, you teach it, but then the person has it. They can do it. You know, it's something they've got, the tool that they can take with them for the rest of their life.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I do the tappings. You know,
you do.
But I have actually been at work in a stressful situation in my corporate job during the day, and I've actually like gone to the bathroom and been like, okay, that's it. I'm tapping this out, right? Because I want to come back and be able to function for the rest of the day. And so I think these tools of, you know, the tapping, the, you know, the mindful breathing, the, you know, that loving kindness, that grateful, I feel like if people could adopt maybe some of these when they're in these chaotic situations, it would shift their perception, but it would also help regulate their body as well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody, you know, most of them do end up doing the same thing. So it's a matter of just finding one that you kind of like to do, that kind of you have groove with. And don't worry about, oh, I need to do this one to get it. No, they're all, if they chill you down, that's all you need to do. It's working. If you can feel it, it's working.
That's true. It goes back to the old saying, if something's bothering you, pinch yourself to see if it's real.
Right? Yeah.
and it really does catch you and pull you back, you know, even if somebody's bothering you, just touching your hand and moving it around a little bit, like, whoa, I get that energy to move away or whatever, right? But it is.
Well, Barb, that reminds me, I can talk about another experiment that's we done here at ION. This it's not in the book, but it's just, you made me think of it because it's, do you know what lucid dreaming is? Have you ever?
Yeah.
So we did a study on that actually with folks with PTSD, but one of the techniques for inducing lucid dreaming at night is while you're awake, get in the habit of pinching yourself for testing your reality.
Right.
Like, oh, am I dreaming? You know, that I'll pinch myself or try to push your finger through your hand and then, oh yeah, I'm not dreaming. But you can, if you have this habit, and then when you go to sleep, that, you know, we're creatures of habit, it carries over. And then when you're in your dream, you say, I am, you test it and you realize you are dreaming, then you gain lucidity. And this is another powerful healing state. It's, you know, I've watched it with these folks in the experiment, transforming their trauma through these dream states. It's amazing and beautiful.
Yes, you bet.
That is amazing. Yeah. And I think that's beneficial for people to know there are these tools out there to use, right? Because I feel like the further down the rabbit hole we go with some of these traumas and PTSD, addictions, things like that, you feel so hopeless, like there's nothing you can do to help yourself out of it. And so I'm grateful that you talked about that, because that's a huge thing for people.
And it's everybody, it's available to anybody that just wants to try it.
Yeah. And so then you think with vibes, do you think it's important to get your own vibe kind of centered before you show yourself out into the world to be able to spread that out? And do you think that's how it spreads, or you talk?
Yeah, I think it's essential to get your own vibes chilled down, but it's going to, so if you don't, it's still going to be radiating. So it's a matter of how you want to influence, you know, how you want to show up the world. I think just like you mentioned. And so if you're just not thinking about anybody and you're just going about the day, but you have you're centered, you're going to just be this radiating positive element. But if your question is about more like intentionally interacting with somebody else, then for sure you want to first get yourself in as centered as you can. Try to spend even just a moment in the super conscious vibe state where you're not thinking about yourself. Essentially, the main key, as far as I understand, and you know, this is not my idea, this is the perennial philosophy, all different cultures, is to stop the talking inside of your head. Just to take a break.
There's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah. Stopping that internal dialogue, and then you can just perceive and just be. And I think that it, you know, it can't be said enough. It's not like you're going to go there and you spend an hour there. I mean, I don't know if it's a fleeting second, what fraction. I doubt I've ever reached a minute just on, you know, but it doesn't, it's so potent. And you come out of it with that beingness, that felt beingness is still there. And it helps you. Then, of course, then the conscious mind kicks in, the ego's there. Very helpful. We need that to navigate and communicate and back on the job, but don't need that 24/7. In fact, it's really, really detrimental to have it just running the show all the time. So
yeah, bring the clarity. It's the clarity you're after, right?
Yeah.
How you're moving with that. Yes. Mm-hmm. So
I was thinking when you were talking about even like what we listen to and what we watch on television and things like that. And it was really funny because somebody made a comment the other day when I was at work about there was this bombing at the city hall or something. And I was like, oh, they're like, you don't know? I said, I don't watch news. Because I find it very disturbing, because like this is what they're putting out is all this negative stuff. And so you're ingesting that. And for myself as a health thing, I'm like, I'm good. You know, I'll hear glimpses or I'll read things online. That's enough for me to be aware of what's happening in the world. Do you think that that's important to watch what we're looking at, reading, listening to?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this is not necessarily my expertise as a molecular biologist, but I would say that you're really smart to think about that way of taking in information. And so not to call anybody out, but say this news organization, we know what are the driving forces behind that. As you mentioned, negative thing, what's driving
your fear,
the way they're communicating to you, right? So I like your method of collecting it from people, different places, and then you're more in control of the way you're getting this information. And yeah, I'm not an expert on journalism, but I have a feeling it has been done better at other times, and it could be done better than it is right now. But it's so difficult.
It is so difficult to
curate the information coming into you.
I think it affects my vibe of how I want to show up in the world. If you're just getting all this negative information, it's like, okay, I feel bombarded, and it shifts my thinking. And so for me, it's just like, no thanks. I'm good.
I even do that with people. If I meet someone and they approach me and they're already doing negative approach sort of thing, talking about something negative, I find myself on a fleeing moment. I just want to flee as fast as I can go away from them. It's sort of like, I don't want that to stay with me, right? I want, okay, if you want to have that vibe and that's okay with you, go ahead. I'm a giggler and I like to laugh a lot. So something comes up to me like that, it's like, oh, that's just frightening my day. That, right? So yeah, it's tricked in all different ways, and I don't want to carry that with me in my days.
Yeah.
Be as positive as I possibly can be, because about every two people are going to try to knock that down.
Yeah.
True. You know,
and one of the techniques in the book that's called, it's a Qigong technique called dumping buckets. Terms about, I'm just thinking of it because you mentioned about, you know, picking up things you don't want to carry it around. This is a technique for really checking, doing a check on all your energy, you know, and also your body and your energy. It's very simple. I'll say a quick version of it now. now, if you don't mind. So you know, you can be sitting or standing in like a relaxed knees, just somewhere comfortable. And you imagine picking up a bucket of water from a water source that brings you joy or happiness or love, but just, you know, makes you smile to think about. And then you lift it up in your mind's eye, lift it up over your head. And in the beginning, just a drop, just let a drop come out and then feel it come down on the crown of your head. And then let your imagination follow that drop of water, and you can feel the tingling all the way down across every inch of your body, your nose, your lips, your chin, your neck, and then down your front of your body and split to go down both legs, just slowly tingling all the way down, and then off the top of your foot, off your toes, then sink down into the earth and just feel that. Feel yourself connected to the earth like that. I like to breathe there for a little bit. And then imagine picking up a second bucket, doing it on the backs of your body, and the last bucket, all both sides, each time letting it sink down into the bottom, into the center of the earth, and breathing where you feel connected like that. And then you just open your eyes, and there you are. And I think that can just clean any energy off you don't want. And the earth is there to help just absorb it and get you all centered. And then on just a mundane level, you actually pay attention to all of your body at least once a day. Like, and I think that helps me prevent injuries. You know, so I might notice, my left knee, I'd notice like, it's almost like it's called, it wants me to let the water sink in a little more there, or do it again. And so I learned this Qigong practice from one of the classic old Chinese sage types in Beijing. And kind of the rule he said is like, don't compare yourself to anybody else or even yourself on another day. So change it, follow the feeling of it. And if you're feeling tingling, then that's Qi, you got it. You don't need to question yourself about it.
Right.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Like, I could just feel the peace come over me as you were doing that. So thank you for sharing that with everybody.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. So can you, if you had to leave our listeners with one piece of advice, something that doesn't have to be advice, just what would that be?
Inspiration.
Yeah, there you go.
I would say that, you know, the things we're talking, you know, we touched a bit on about the evolution of human consciousness, like, you know, this thing that's happening that would be hopeful, that we feel interconnected, and then we start acting more compassionately. That, I think, is so essential, and it requires cooperation. Like, we're not guaranteed to make it. Like, we just, you know, the human race, there's no guarantee that we're going to make it. I think our only chance is evolving to understand that we are all interconnected. This interconnectedness is the key to our survival. So do it.
Perfect. That's a great message. Well, we appreciate that you wrote this book, and we'll put links to it and all this research that you're doing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yourself and at the Noetic Sciences, because I think it's so important for us as humankind to have this research going into these things to bring consciousness.
It is. It's true. And I think too, like, a lot of people need to think that they can get into the scientific part of it, and it picks back to where at one time they didn't sort of jive together so much. And it's so nice to see how it's all coming together, that, you know, and it's all making sense. And so we can all just keep moving on to the next ascensions of where we need to be traveling in this lifetime, right? Or the next.
Absolutely. Love it.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you so much for coming on. And can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, the Institute of Noetic Sciences webpage. It's noetic.org. So noetic.org. And everything's there. You can see some of the research we've done, links to courses, and lots of fun stuff.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Well, that's great.
Thank you.
I will leave that in the show notes.
Absolutely.
And we do really appreciate you taking your time to share space with us and these wonderful, you know, techniques that you shared with people to just help them in their everyday life and make us more, you know, conscious about how we are.
Yeah. Come back on with us again as you learn more things that you want to share with the world.
Absolutely.
Please come back on and share again. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
And everybody else, tune in next week.
You bet you will.